Gateway Market and Cafe is Des Moines' locally owned grocery and specialty food store, centrally located at ML King Parkway and Woodland Ave. Enjoy chef-crafted prepared foods, artisan baked goods, organic produce, hand-cut meats, local and international cheeses, wines, and craft beer. Gateway's Cafe is open for dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service 7 days a week. Stop by or visit gatewaymarket.com for more details. Gateway Market, good food, great community. Welcome to the Fallon Forum, folks. Ed Fallon with you here. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, including Gateway Marketing Cafe. Gateway is Central Iowa's premier good food store and brings together the world's finest products with Iowa-grown foods and passionate, personalized service. If you're looking for quality foods with a community focus, check out Gateway Marketing Cafe. Thanks also to Central Iowa Realtor Joe Henry, residential, commercial, land. Joe's been covering all that for 23 years. He's also a leading community activist and a strong advocate for locally owned businesses. Call Joe Henry at 515-208-7312. Hey, so before we launch here, folks, I want to give a quick shout out to the Des Moines Irish Session. Thank you, Des Moines Irish Session, for providing our bumper music. Okay, I want to talk about witches. But before we talk about witches, I got to talk about a couple different insects. The first one involves my favorite insect of all, bees, and it involves Angelina Jolie. And why you want to be very, very quiet when you are covered with bees.
Shh, be very, very quiet.
I just love that cartoon. I mean, I've loved that cartoon for, 64 years, I suppose, anyway. But I love what Angelina Jolie did. She wanted to do her part, or she was invited to do her part, to raise awareness about the importance of bees during World Bee Day. I'm sure Donald Trump might want to abolish that, but it's a world day. It's not just in the U.S. And Angelina Jolie allowed herself to be photographed and videotaped, covered with honeybees. Now, as a beekeeper, and as someone who is not only a beekeeper, but allergic to bee venom, so I got to be very careful, I was quite fascinated by this display of performance art for a good cause. And I was curious, how did they draw the bees into Jolie's partially, you know, and tastefully clad body? I mean, she had a dress on, but there was plenty of exposed skin, you know, upper torso, her arms, her face. I figured they might use lemongrass because that's what we used around here to try to attract bees from a swarm into a box. They didn't, though. They used a queen bee pheromone. I don't know how they got that. Maybe they convinced the queen bee to willingly donate some pheromone. I don't know. They got it at any rate, and they put it on her. And she was 6 inches away from this cluster of 60,000 bees. Everyone else in the studio, except the photographer who wanted to maintain some solidarity with her by also not wearing protective equipment, okay? So everybody else was covered. And again, she had some kind of a dress on. I really couldn't tell from the photo or the video, but most of her skin above her torso, arms, face, all exposed. She also said she did not have a shower before, and that's a good idea because bees do not like foreign smells, especially the sweet kind of stuff you might get from body wash or something. So it was an 18-minute pose. She was calm and focused for 18 minutes with bees crawling all over her. The one that kind of freaked her out, and it would have freaked me out, somehow got under her dress and crawled up her leg. here's Angelina Jolie sharing that whole experience.
It just felt lovely. It felt lovely to be that connected to these beautiful creatures. It felt that there's certainly a hum. There's a bzzz, some strange meditation. And you can't move and you don't want to do anything you have to be really still and in your body in the moment. which is not easy for me, so it was good for me. But it was all quite an experience. Then you put a few things up your nose and in your ears so you don't give them as many holes to climb in.
Wow. That's a little scary. But what,
I did have one that was under, that got under my dress the entire time.
Wow. And you didn't
I,
move?
And I thought
you
was,
just stood
was,
completely
still? It was
like
still? A comedy, like one of those old comedies where there's that one bee that, and I kept feeling it on my knee, on my leg, my thing, and then kind of I thought, oh, this is the worst place to get stung.
Well, good for her, and good for World Bee Day, and good for all of us who take steps to protect bees. I want to move on from being stung to being bitten. Mosquitoes. It's been an interesting year here in central Iowa for mosquitoes, a fairly big population given how warm and wet it has been. Axios Des Moines did a recent story about this, and I thought it was interesting. A science prof from ISU, Alan Miller, did some research and found that the mosquito population has drunk, slurped, gobbled down an entire 100 gallons of central Iowa blood this season. Now, I was curious how he ever came up with that number. So apparently he multiplied the metro area's population. It's about 800,000. He multiplied 800,000 by the average number of annual bites, which he estimated at 100. And I'm kind of shocked about that. I don't think I've ever had 100 bites in a year. And I'm outside and in the garden and walking in the woods a lot. So I think that's high. But so I also assume there are people who get no bites because they never go outside. So I think his number is probably high. But anyway, it was intriguing to know that somebody had tried to come up with a number of how much blood Central Iowans have donated to mosquitoes. So I think that's an alarming number that's over the top. I do think that it's good to protect yourself against mosquitoes. I do that by dressing appropriately. I wear long pants. I wear a shirt when I have to, even when it's warm out. And, you know, if I have to put on some bug dope, I'll do that, but I don't normally do that. Kathy and I are very careful about getting rid of standing water. What I don't like is this blanket spraying. And we've been fortunate to have a city that is willing to work with those of us who raise food organically and who raise bees so that we don't have these toxins coming in and killing our bees and ruining the organic element of our crops. I'm grateful for that. Things have changed a lot, again, for the better. But I remember when I was a kid, when they not only did blanket spraying, they did it with helicopters. They did it during the day. I remember being out playing once on Basswood Avenue with my friends, and we saw the helicopter go by, and it was, yay, helicopter! And next thing we know, ooh, weird sticky stuff on our arms and on our heads. Oh, whatever that is. Well, we'll just keep playing. You know, so if I get really weird or get some kind of crazy cancer, I'm blaming that. But I'm glad we moved on from that, at least to some extent. Again, plenty of other problems with chemicals, but at least we seem to have addressed the aerial spraying of entire neighborhoods and children during the day. We've addressed that problem. But we haven't addressed the witch problem. Yes, I'm going to talk about witches, and I'm going to start with my grandmother, who was not a witch, but she was born in Salem, Massachusetts. And, my grandmother, this is my non-Irish grandmother, she was kind of odd. I loved her. She was great. She would paint, she painted a lot of things, and she would paint on mushrooms, on burlap sacks that my grandfather would stretch over a frame. And that had more to do with being poor than being odd, I guess. She also played music, and she played the accordion. I guess that's odd. This is definitely odd. She once performed with her band, a band called the Crystal Bells, all grannies, five of them. She once performed a song called Bird in a Gilded Cage while wearing a birdcage on her head. Anyway, she was a stitch. I remember once she went to I didn't go with her, but my brother and his football friends took her to a big-time wrestling meet at Boston Garden where the Celtics and the Bruins play. And, you know, big-time wrestling, it's just phony wrestling, right? So they went to that, and she came back hoarse because she'd spent so much time yelling and cheering. Anyway, she had her quirks. And I suspect that if she had been born 200 years earlier, There'd have been a good chance she would have been labeled a witch. We all know how that ends. You know, my grandma also owned a music studio, and that's where I had my first accordion lesson. So sorry about that. Oftentimes, after lessons, my dad would take me somewhere interesting. And one of the interesting points in Salem that we would go to was the Salem Witch House. It's now a museum, and it's where a judge named John Corwin lived. And it's called the Witch House because Corwin was the judge who they would bring the witches, those accused of witchery. They would bring them to his home for what was called a, quote, pretrial examination. Now, in the end, an absolutely shocking 200 people were accused of being witches. And it didn't end well for 25 of them. Again, mostly women, mostly who ended up dangling from a rope on a gallows. You know, nobody looks back at the Salem witch trial and says, hey, that was a great moment in American history. Yeah. So we'll see if Donald Trump purges any mention of that unsavory moment of our history from the Smithsonian and other places, other cultural venues he wants to control. But that brings us up to the year 2025. And I found something that I think was kind of brilliant circulating online. Author unknown. I tried to track down the author. No idea. But I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you verbatim. My daughter came home from school and said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened in history class today. So her teacher told the class they were going to play a game. And he walked around the room and he whispered to each kid whether they were a witch or just a regular person. Then he gave the instructions. Form the biggest group you can without a witch. And if your group has even one, you all fail. She said the whole room instantly lit up with suspicion. Everyone started interrogating each other. Are you a witch? How do we know you're not a witch? How do we know you're not lying? Some kids clung to one big group, but most broke off into smaller, exclusive cliques. They turned away anyone who seemed uncertain, nervous, or gave off even the slightest hint of being guilty. The energy shifted fast. Suddenly, everyone was suspicious of everyone. Whispers, finger pointing, side eyes. Trust dissolved in minutes. And finally, when all the groups were formed, the teacher said, all right, time to find out who fails. Witches, raise your hands. And not one hand went up. And the whole class exploded. Wait, you messed up the game. And then the teacher dropped the bomb. Did I? Were there any actual witches in Salem? Or did everyone just believe what they were told? My daughter said the room went dead silent. And that's when it hit them. No witch was ever needed for the damage to happen. Fear had already done its work. Suspicion alone divided the entire class, turning community into chaos. And isn't that exactly what we're seeing today? Different words, same playbook. Instead of witch, it's liberal conservative, vaxxed unvaxxed, pro this, anti that. The labels shift, but the tactic is the same. Get people scared, get them suspicious, get them divided, then sit back while trust crumbles. The danger was never the witch. The danger is the rumor, the suspicion, the fear, the planted lies. Refuse the whisper. Don't play the game. Because the second we start hunting, quote, witches, we've already lost. And that's the end of that read. And I tell you, I was very impressed. And I think the author really hit on something that we have to be cognizant of. The labels that the media or political hacks want to stick us with are nothing but divisive and in the end very destructive. And we start being suspicious of the person who voted for Donald Trump because, well, they must be a racist or a sexist or just dumb. Or, you know, on the other side, suspicious of the person who criticizes the Trump administration's policy in some way or another. Yeah, there must be just some kind of radical left-wing nutcase. You know, I mean, none of these labels or stereotypes are helpful or accurate, and we need to push back against them. Bottom line is we've got to stop demonizing each other, just like there were really no witches back in Salem 25 people died. 19 of them hung. One of them tortured. Five of them in prison because the conditions were so horrible. We can do better than we're doing now, folks. And that story is a great way to think about how much we can do better. And here's a reminder of of how things should not go.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
I got better.
Burn her anyway!
There are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are there? Huh? What are they? Tell us! Can I hurt?
Tell me, what do you do with witches?
Thanks to Central Iowa Realtor Joe Henry. Residential, commercial, land, Joe Henry's been covering all that for 23 years. He's also a leading community activist and a strong advocate for locally owned businesses. Call Joe Henry at 515-208-7312. That's 515-208-7312. You're responsible for a lot, and it's easy to become overwhelmed, to feel helpless, even hopeless. What's not so easy is finding your way back to feeling and functioning better. Psychiatrist Dr. David Drake helps individuals and couples throughout Iowa with the convenience and privacy of televideo counseling. Dr. Drake also prescribes medication when needed, and his services are offered on a self-pay, negotiated fee basis. If you need help, don't delay. Contact Dr. Drake at daviddrakefamilypsychiatry.com.
Welcome back to the Fallon Forum. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, including Catholic Peace Ministry, whose focus is on nuclear disarmament, the war between Israel and Hamas, the war in Ukraine, and the need to end the permanent war economy. Learn more at CatholicPeaceMinistry.com. Thanks also to Westrum Optometry. Dr. Joel Westrum and his staff are fluent in English and Spanish. The clinic is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. and on Saturdays by appointment. That's Westrum Optometry. All right, so I've never been a fan of the surveillance state that has developed in this country post 9/11 with what was called the Patriot Act under George W. Bush and then later reauthorized by every president since. So a Chinese guy came up with the most clever strategy I've ever heard of to fight surveillance using surveillance. So again, China has a much longer history of the U.S. In terms of crushing, citizens who aren't good communists. DeSantis is not welcome at all. And they've gotten also pretty advanced about monitoring behavior with technology. And so it's becoming even easier to enforce censorship and to kind of regiment behavior. So, but freedom isn't quite dead here in the U.S. and it's not entirely dead in China either. Last month in Chongqing, and again, I think I'm saying that correctly. If I'm not, correct me. That's a city of a population of 30 million. There was a guy who beat the system and beat it embarrassingly badly. I mean, wait till you hear. Anyway, I think his name is Ki Hong. And he didn't organize a rally or a protest or a march to oppose government surveillance. He figured out how to create a huge projection on a building, a very prominent building in downtown, and one night the slogan started appearing on that building calling for an end to Communist Party rule. One of them was, quote, "Only without the Communist Party can there be a new China." Another one was, quote, "No more lies, we want the truth, no more slavery, we want freedom." And the projection came from a hotel. and once the cops figured it out, and that took about an hour, I guess, they went to the hotel to shut it down and arrest the offender. But wait, there's nobody there. Ki-Hong is gone. So they can't arrest anybody. But this gets even better because Ki-Hong not only set up this projector to put these anti-Communist Party slogans on a building, I mean, huge projections, he left cameras in that room, in that building, cameras that filmed the police officers scoping the place out, looking for him, fiddling with the projector, and they didn't know they were being filmed. They didn't know they were being spied on. And then they found a letter from Ki-Hong on the coffee table, and the letter said, quote, "Even if you are a beneficiary of the system today, one day you will inevitably become a victim on this land." And, of course, Ki-Hong, as they were finding that letter, he was already publishing it online. So when the police couldn't find him, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to go after his mom, of course. And of course, Ki-Hong knew that was going to happen. So he'd set up surveillance equipment out of, you know, in the little house that his mom lived in this village. And the next day, and this is a quote from a New York Times story about this, quote, "Hong published another image from surveillance footage showing police officers questioning his frail, hunched mother in front of her village home." Enemy of the state, right? So Ki-Hong's protest, or I'd rather call it performance art, I think that's a better description, or both maybe. It happened, it was timed pretty good too. It was timed a day before a big Communist Party parade, military parade. Kind of like the ones that Trump likes. So you can imagine that, you know, Ki-Hong was probably the most wanted, quote, criminal in China. And I'm sure they had all their efforts trained on trying to, apprehend him. Well, he got away. He got away because after he got all that surveillance equipment set up to do the projection, to film the officers looking for him, to film them talking to his, you know, trying to apprehend his mom. He had all that set up. And then 9 days before he triggered it, he left China with his wife and his daughters. And he managed to turn that whole apparatus on remotely from someplace in Britain. That's just brilliant. That is just absolutely brilliant. Again, quoting from the New York Times story, this story is by Li Yuan, quote, "Technology has strengthened the Chinese government's ability to control its people. Ki-Hong illustrated how the same tools can enable resistance." Quote, "My only intention," this is Ki-Hong, quote, "my only intention was to express myself. The party installed surveillance cameras to watch us. I thought I could use the same method to watch them." Brilliant. All right, so speaking of cameras, and here's a different angle from a different corner of the world. In this corner of the world, Avoca, Iowa. Avoca, tiny place. I mean, what, less than 1,000 people, I think? Maybe? It's a tiny place, but like all cities and towns, they have problems with vehicles that don't regard noise ordinance, you know, restrictions, and like to rev their engines or don't, you know, whatnot late at night. And so Avoca set up noise cameras. I'd never heard of a noise camera, but apparently there's a growing number of communities across the U.S. that are using these noise cameras to, you know, try to stop, you know, vehicles from disrupting sleep and finding the drivers. I have a bunch of questions. I mean, how effective are they? Can they be used for other nefarious purposes? For example, you know, see the previous conversation about China, you know. But in Avoca, again, a small town, fines will be $100 for the first offense and $200 for subsequent tickets. And as of this spring, Avoca has recorded 183 violations in a month. So about a third of those were just from five vehicles. So there are five bad apples. You know, and I Des Moines, if there are no real problems with this technology, and maybe there are, I don't know, but Des Moines needs to get on this because we have a huge problem here. We have a huge problem. Scoop the loop is something that's been going on for decades. It's when cars would roar through downtown on Friday and Saturday nights. And, you know, when downtown Des Moines was actually called Dead Moines, That was one thing, but now you have people living down there. You have restaurants down there, and it's really annoying. And they're starting to crack down on that, but now we're seeing the, quote, scooping the loop happening out in neighborhoods, like 2 blocks from us. It's really loud. It's very disruptive. And we tend to undervalue sleep in this country anyhow. So it'd be really good for us to start taking sleep more seriously, individually and collectively. And one way to deal with that might be these noise cameras. Anyway, I'm intrigued. We'll see what happens next. All right, so we all have heard stories about deportations, and we are wondering, well, I thought Trump was going after the criminals, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers, the bad people. Well, apparently he caught another bad person. And this is not a bad brown person. This is a bad Irish person. Story about this in the Guardian. Irish woman with a green card. She faces a U.S. deportation because of a $25 bad check she wrote 10 years ago. Now, that's a devious criminal mind, $25 bad check. So Donna Hughes Brown, she's lived in the U.S. since 1977. She's been here that long. She's never bothered to get citizenship for some reason. I don't know. I don't know why. But she's lived here. She's married a guy named Jim Brown. And she's a grandmother. She and her husband have a horse ranch. She's 58 years old now. And she was coming back from Dublin. They went there for a funeral. And they live in Missouri. The horse farm is in Troy, Missouri. And they landed in Chicago. And as she was getting off the plane, they're waiting for her. Law enforcement, ICE, is waiting for her. And they cuff her. They take her away. And again, she has 5 kids and grandkids, runs a horse farm, good citizen. I mean, some of the things, I mean, she did volunteer work for homeless shelters. She put together a horse truck full of equipment and supplies for victims of Hurricane Helene a couple years ago, or whenever that was. So, you know, bad enough that they arrested her, okay, for a $25 check written 10 years ago. And she's already made restitution. It's not like she's like trying to avoid responsibility for it. She made restitution. She received probation. The whole thing's done. But again, because Stephen Miller with the Trump administration and Holman are looking for anybody at all they can grab in order to fill their quota, you know, they'll take this Irish grandmother who's been here since 1977. So, she's been transferred. This has been over 2 months now, July, almost 2 months. She was transferred to a facility in Kentucky. I'd not heard of this one, but her husband told her the conditions were deplorable. And then he lost contact with her this week, last week, I should say, because she was moved to an isolation cell. So he doesn't know the whole story because they won't tell him. But he thinks that the reason they moved her to an isolation cell is because she needs a low-sodium diet. And she, you know, said they were trying to, she says, she told him earlier, quote, they tried to feed me hot dogs and chili mac. And Jim Brown thinks they probably told, she probably told them, you know, that, you know, she wasn't going to eat it. So they locked her up in solitary confinement. And what are they giving her there? A different kind of swill? The same kind of swill? Extra high sodium swill? I don't know. So Jim Brown, again, the husband, says that her deportation is scheduled for September 17th, and that's coming right up. I don't know what's going to happen, but he says hopefully they'll dismiss it. We have 40 character witnesses we sent to the lawyer. So Donna Hughes Brown, she was born in England, grew up in Ireland before moving as an 11-year-old to the U.S., where she renewed her green card, but never bothered to become a citizen. Not sure why. But again, she's a great citizen. She's done work for the homeless, for the poor, sending shipments of supplies to victims of Hurricane Helene. You know, this is absolutely insane. So I get this. Okay, so these are not flaming liberals. Jim Brown, I'm not sure how Donna Brown voted, but Jim Brown says, I voted for Trump. I'm okay with getting rid of criminals out of this country. Immigrants who come and commit criminal acts, serious criminal acts. But he says he 100% regretted voting for Donald Trump. 100%. Brown, he served in the Navy and Marines for decades. Said he supported Donald Trump's promise to deport, quote, criminal illegal immigrants. But the federal authorities are now targeting other people to reach quotas. He says, quote, you look at the news and they're not telling the truth about what's actually happening to a lot of illegal immigrants. What's bad is that Trump is so demeaning to people and he's so condescending and so retaliatory that people are afraid to say anything. Okay, so I can't imagine that there aren't a lot of other Jim Browns out there, because I can't imagine there's not a lot of other Donna Hughes Browns out there. People like her who are good citizens, who might have had one little bad thing happen, or maybe nothing at all, and yet they are being deported and left in horrible conditions, being fed swill that they can't eat because of their diet, and then when they refuse to eat it, being put in solitary confinement. I mean, this has been going on for 2 months. How's this going to affect her health? How's it affecting her business? How's it affecting the rest of her family, her kids, her grandkids? This is criminal. This is absolutely criminal. So she's not the only Irish woman either that's being treated this way. Cleona Ward, she's also a green card holder from Ireland. She was detained back in April in San Francisco at the airport. She made a visit to Ireland because of, I can't remember why she was going to Ireland, but she's from there. But the reason she was detained was because of offenses that dated back about 20 years. And she was released after a month or so. I mean, this stuff has got to stop. And those who may have thought that Donald Trump was serious about getting rid of the criminal illegal immigrants, look what's happening. Look what's happening. Look who he's targeting. And again, it's mostly brown and black people, you know, but not exclusively. I guess you can be Irish and apparently spend 2 months in a horrible prison situation in Kentucky. So I don't know when this is going to stop, but my concern is that if we don't continue to speak out about it, it's just going to get worse. Hey, I got to run to a short break, folks. Ed Fallon with you here on the Fallon Forum. Back in a minute, we want to talk about that that small boat that was blown up by a U.S. drone in international waters off the coast of Venezuela. Back in a minute on the Fallon Forum.
Catholic Peace Ministry is an independent nonprofit guided by an ecumenical board representing many faith traditions. Founded in 1980, Catholic Peace Ministry focuses on nuclear disarmament and ending the wars between Israel and Hamas and Russia and Ukraine. CPM's overarching concern is the need to end the permanent war economy, which must be challenged if we are to achieve lasting peace and justice. Learn more at CatholicPeaceMinistry.com.
At Westrum Optometry, Dr. Joel Westrum and his team provide a variety of services, including comprehensive eye exams, children's eye exams, and LASIK co-management. Whether strictly utilitarian or a fashion statement, your comfort and vision are Westrum's primary concern. Dr. Westrum and his staff will work closely with you to determine the best solution for your eyes, prescription, and lifestyle. Services are provided in English and Spanish, and the clinic is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. and on Saturdays by appointment. That's Westrum Optometry, located in Des Moines East Village.
Hey, welcome back to the Fallon Forum. Thanks to our partners, including Story County Veterinary Clinic, where Dr. Kim Holding has been caring for all creatures, great and small, for over 30 years. Learn more at Story County Veterinary Clinic's Facebook page. Thanks also to Architecture by Synthesis. Owner Mark Clipsham asks that you use the most energy-efficient methods you can afford and the greenest, longest-lasting materials available. Examples of Mark's work can be found at architecturebysynthesis.com.
It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives.
That's President Donald Trump from the Oval Office after the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And there is so much to unpack there. I mean, okay, yeah, he starts off right. Okay, yeah, we don't want to label people. And then he does it. Then he labels the left. And he doesn't just, I mean, at that point, he didn't even know. None of us knew who the shooter was. None of us knew the shooter's motives. Yeah, and yet he's already blaming the entire political left. Somehow the entire political left is implicated in the murder of Charlie Kirk. And then he goes on to say, talk about how other shootings have happened. And of course, they're all shootings of people on the right. And those all bother me too, you know. But what about what happened to in Minnesota? What happened to Josh Shapiro? What about happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband? He doesn't mention those. He doesn't mention all the mass shootings in schools and churches and public places. I mean, he does exactly what he says he shouldn't, that we shouldn't do. He does exactly that. And it's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. And I hope people see through it. And maybe people are seeing through it. I'm going to quote two Zachs. Zach Nunn, he's our U.S. congressman at present, a Republican. And Zach Walls, he's the Senate majority leader, minority leader rather, in the Iowa House. He's running for the U.S. Senate. Zach Nunn said, quote, "I think the overall violence that's happened, both with Charlie Kirk's death, with the killing of children at a church in Minnesota, with the execution of state legislators in Minnesota, this is not one side or the other. This is an extremism that has started to take shape, take hold. And there's an opportunity here for us not only to reset the conversation, but candidly come together as a country in a way that we did after 9/11. I hope that's truly what takes place." End quote. Okay. I have no problem with that, except I think it would have been more accurate for Nunn to admit that most of the shootings have happened from extremists on the political right. That does not excuse those that happen from folks on the left. I still don't know, and it's not clear to me or anyone yet, maybe. Tyler Robinson is the guy's name who killed Kirk, but what is his... It's to me, at least at last check on the news, it's still unclear as to where exactly he's coming from. Anyway, it's encouraging to hear people standing up to the president on this. You know, more predictably, on the Democratic side, Zach Walls says, quote, "I condemn the political violence in the strongest possible terms. My prayers are with his widow and his two young children. You know, this is a country where we resolve our arguments with words and debate, not with weapons and violence. And we absolutely need leaders who are going to work to try and lower the temperature." Okay, two comments from Zachs, political Zachs, both pretty similar and both very much in contrast to what you heard from President Trump, whose comments are despicable, absolutely despicable, and so lopsided. So, I mean, this is the president. The one thing I would have liked to have seen Nunn say is, "And I refute the divisive manner in which President Trump made his statement," something like that, but... that might be expecting a little bit too much. Anyway, we'll see where this goes. One of my audience members mentioned to me that the killing of Charlie Kirk feels like the Horst Wessel moment. And I didn't... Horst Wessel, I had to look that up. Maybe you know who he is, but he was a young Nazi back in the 1930, maybe late 20s, who was killed, murdered, and became a unifying symbol. You know, Hitler and the Nazi party used him all over the place as an example of why they needed to be strong against the left. In this case, it was the Communist Party, but other elements as well. So, yeah, this could be, I mean, I do not think Charlie Kirk's shooting is going to be an issue we don't hear from. We're going to hear a lot more, and a lot of it might be bad. But again, I'm encouraged that some people, including some on the political right, are now saying, yeah, we need dialogue and civility, not guns and shooting. All right, so the blowing up of a boat in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, I said Gulf of Mexico. You know, there was a really good commentary about that on Facebook. Again, I don't know who the author is. I got this from Brian Terrell's Facebook page, but I thought it was very astute and worth referencing. The author wrote, "The more I think about the boat full of people blown up by the U.S., the more things don't add up." And this was written, again, before more things have come out that just validate what this author is saying. I'll go back to the piece. He says, "So a small boat goes speeding past the Navy, and what? The captain picks up the phone and calls the White House? Of course, he gets through instantly. 'Excuse me, sir,' says the captain, a small boat just went speeding by. What should we do?' 'Do,' barks the commander-in-chief. 'Shoot it out of the water.' 'Done,' says the captain, and he relays the order to the crew. They take aim, and they shoot it out of the water. 'Good job,' says the president with a fist pump. 'Fight, fight, fight.'" So that's probably not how it went down, right? You know, Trump and Marco Rubio have made it clear that Trump personally gave the order, and I doubt that's how it happened. Because Trump, you know, had no idea who was on that boat. And none of the officers boarded the boat. They didn't collect any evidence. They didn't verify that there were drugs being smuggled. They didn't try to apprehend the people on board. And, you know, again, this weekend, the new evidence, the 11 people who were killed on this boat, none of them, not a single one of them, was a member of Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan gang that President Trump likes to warn us about. That information is from Venezuela's interior minister. And these all 11 people were from two small villages. So there's a really good chance that these were refugees fleeing Venezuela. I mean, a lot of Venezuelans have come here because things aren't good there. Same reason a lot of other people have come to the U.S., because things aren't good in their home country. The number is, I think, what, hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans have come to the U.S.? And sure, there are probably some bad apples in there, and there are probably some members of the Tren de Aragua gang. But apparently these were, all 11 were from two small villages. Also, it appears that the boat was, you know, beginning to head the other direction, away from the Navy vessel. And also, as the story points out, a very small boat. And if you've got 11 people on a very small boat, where are the drugs? How, you know, what kind of a cargo are you going to be hauling of any substance? Where do you stash them? You know, this is a boat that they were in international waters. They were not threatening the U.S. There were no weapons, apparently. In the photographs we've seen, there were no weapons. So, you know, the best guess is Trump made this decision, and I don't doubt that he made the decision to blow up the boat to send a message to President Maduro of Venezuela, but not just to President Maduro, but also to us. Trump took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but he's finding one way after another to totally flaunt the Constitution. Right now, we're seeing this tyranny of executive orders, you know, and we have unidentified federal agents who are kidnapping people without due process, grabbing them off the street, putting them in the cars, jailing them indefinitely, you know, who knows where, sometimes in Kentucky, in solitary confinement, if you're an Irish person who can't eat swill. But again, it's not just violent criminals. People who have lived here for decades, going through the process of trying to become citizens, people who are working, doing important jobs, paying taxes, Korean people working on a green energy facility in Georgia. I mean, it is crazy what's happening. And students, tourists, even U.S. citizens being rounded up. Trump still has the military in Los Angeles. Don't forget that. Trump still has the military in Washington, D.C. He's taken over the police department there. And when he was asked, how long will the U.S. military be occupying Washington, D.C.? And he said, well, at least till the end of the year. We'll see how that goes. And he's mentioned Chicago or Baltimore or Portland, New York or Memphis as other cities where he might want to deploy the U.S. military. So back to that Venezuelan boat, okay? How is what Trump did not mass murder? How is that not mass murder? 11 people killed, no due diligence, no production of evidence, no attempt to board the vessel, apprehend the people, arrest them if you need to, but no attempt to see who they were or what they were doing or whether or not they actually had the illegal items that, Trump claims they had. So, I think, a part of this is Trump is trying to instill fear, and he's doing a good job of it. He's making us, and this comes back to the witch story I read earlier. It comes back to the whole thing about fear. When we're afraid, we are paralyzed. When we are suspicious of others, we don't connect with them. And I think that's part of what's going on. The White House response to what happened was this, quote, "These were evil Tren de Aragua narco-terrorists trying to bring illegal drugs into our country and kill Americans." That's what spokeswoman Anna Kelly said in response to press questions. Let's take that apart. Apparently none of them, well, first of all, evil was an unnecessary adjective. Tren de Aragua. Apparently none of them were members of the gang, so they weren't narco-terrorists. And they weren't bringing illegal drugs into the U.S., and they weren't trying to kill Americans. I mean, nearly everything in that sentence is hogwash. As I said earlier, I'm glad to see some Republicans standing up to what Donald Trump is doing and saying, and that certainly goes for Senator Rand Paul, who criticized the strike, saying, quote, "During my time in the Senate, I have been the foremost critic of drones being used on civilians, especially Americans. The recent drone attack on a small speedboat over 2,000 miles from our shore without identification of the occupants or the content of the boat is in no way part of a declared war and defies our longstanding Coast Guard rules of engagement, which include warnings to halt, non-lethal force to capture, and ultimately lethal force in self-defense or in cases of resistance." Let's go back to that a bit. I mean, that's Rand Paul. Three things. First, quote, "Warnings to halt." No warnings were given. No warnings at all. Two, "Non-lethal force to capture." There was no attempt to use non-lethal force. And three, "Ultimately lethal force in self-defense." There was nothing to defend against. And there was no resistance. I really hope that more people on the political right start saying how wrong this is. I mean, good for Rand Paul. And there are Democrats standing up to it as well. So, okay, from an online search, I had to check this out. Following a drone strike on a boat near Venezuela in early September 2025, American officials indicated that some survivors of an initial attack were killed in a subsequent strike. The U.S. military conducted multiple strikes on the vessel after the people on board alerted and altered its course and turned back toward shore. So this is even worse than what Rand Paul says, okay? Not only were, the evidence now is that not only were the 11 people not killed by the drone strike, but when some survived, they were later killed in an additional strike. And also that the boat was actually heading back to shore. I don't know how anybody can talk about this president as acting with any legitimate authority. This is not on U.S. soil, 2,000 miles from U.S. soil. Again, this violates the Constitution. It violates international law. It is so, so awful. And then to have his press secretary, you know, try to spin it as, you know, killing narco terrorists who are bringing illegal drugs into the country, who are 2,000 miles from shore. So again, I think I hope we see more people speaking out again. I know the Epstein files is everybody's obsession. Great, but things like this get under my skin more than anything. I cannot believe that he did this. I cannot believe that they try to spin it the way they are. I am encouraged that there are some Republicans speaking out. Let's see if more of that can happen. Hey, I got to take a short break. Back in a minute. Ed Fallon with you here, folks. Kathy Burns will join me. We're going to be talking about fruits and vegetables. And are the vitamins really in the skin? Back in a minute on the Fallon Forum. Architecture by Synthesis provides planning, design, and design-build services for high-performance, low-maintenance, affordable homes and buildings. Owner Mark Clipsham asks that you use the most energy-efficient methods you can afford and the greenest, longest-lasting materials available. Examples of Mark's work can be found at architecturebysynthesis.com. That's architecturebysynthesis.com.
At Story County Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Kim Holding has over 30 years of experience working with all creatures, great and small. Cat, dog, horse, cow, elephant. Well, if you've got a pet elephant, you may be in trouble. Kim's clients stick with her year after year because they know she'll do right by them and their pets and farm animals. So give Kim a shout to keep your animals happy and healthy. Call 515-232-8766. That's 232-8766.
Welcome back to the Fallon Forum. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, including psychiatrist Dr. David Drake. If you live in Iowa, wherever you live in Iowa, Dr. Drake can help through the convenience and privacy of televideo counseling offered on a self-pay, negotiated fee basis. Contact David Drake, familypsychiatry.com. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program. Fruits and vegetables, you got them on your mind.
Always.
Always. Well, we had a little discussion the other day about skins.
This is not like in basketball where you play shirts and skins.
No.
Similar concept, though, because it's with or without the outer coating. And we were talking about eggplant.
Yeah.
And I had roasted some eggplant, or one of us did, and mentioned, I like to eat it with the skin, but the skin was getting a little bitter. And then I just habitually said, that's where the vitamins are. And then I stopped and thought, wait a minute, is that true?
And then I added, well, potatoes. I have heard that the potato skin itself is not particularly valuable, but it's that little layer right under the potato skin. And I say that remembering that in Ireland as a kid, we never ate the potato skins. Those always went to the chickens, the dog, and the cows.
Okay.
But
they went to some use.
Apparently I'm wrong. And the Irish are wrong.
Well, here's a disclaimer for this discussion that we're not medical professionals, so we're just reporting on what we learned from various sources that seem reputable in asking the question, are the vitamins and nutrients, we'll say, really in the skin? So it depends on four things, at least. What vitamin and nutrients are you looking for?
All of them.
That's not always a good thing. What kind of fruit and vegetable are you talking about? Are you talking about raw or cooked? And whether it's been soaked ahead of cooking or serving?
Well, with potato, you're never going to eat that raw. Same with eggplant.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. I suppose I wouldn't.
But something like a tomato, you can eat either way. Yeah. So for a New York article, a New York Times article from 2013 had the quote, part of what makes some fruits and vegetables so rich with color are pigments in the skin that have healthful antioxidant
properties, which is cool. That's one of the ways that a skin can be good for you. But it's not a blanket thing. So I went ahead and looked at the difference between apples with or without peels.
Because we tend to eat the peels of apples, not always.
But yes.
Okay.
Yes, and this is comparing the French word for apple is pomme, and in France the word for potato is pomme de terre.
Apple
so
of the
it's
earth.
Apple and apple of the earth. So that's a fun comparison. Okay. So according to the USDA, if you're talking about the fiber in a potato with the
apple
peel of
fiber?
Sorry, thank
apple.
You, an apple. With the peel, you get about 5 grams
of fiber.
Okay. Without the peel, 3 grams.
So fiber. 2 of the grams are in the peel.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So calcium, with the peel on in an apple, you get 13 milligrams. This is just a regular red apple. 13 milligrams of calcium. Without the peel, you get 2 fewer milligrams. You get 11.
Okay.
And potassium with the peel, 240 milligrams, and without the peel, 195. And vitamin C of the apple with the peel, 10 milligrams without the peel. It just said plenty. I thought that was lame.
That is lame. So, but bottom line is you get more food value by eating the skin of the apple.
You do.
Okay.
You do. And with potatoes.
Potatoes, same thing?
The same thing. With fiber, you get 2 grams with the peel, 1 gram without. So that's double with the peel. Potassium with the peel, 620 milligrams. Without the peel, 470. Calcium in there. Vitamin C with the peel, 150 milligrams. Without the peel, 145 milligrams. This is very close.
Yeah.
So,
but the potassium difference is huge. 620 milligrams versus 470.
It is a big difference. If you need more potassium in your diet, that's something for you to consider.
So maybe this is why when I was a kid, an Irish person working out in the fields doing heavy labor, you know, would eat maybe 6, 7, 8 potatoes.
They
at
needed
lunch.
That potassium.
yeah, make up for the fact that they weren't eating the skins.
Well, the other consideration that when the food was harvested makes a difference. Mm. So, of course, foods contain the most nutrients when they're harvested. After that, they can lose a lot of the good stuff for you. And how you prepare the food is important, too. So some foods lose or gain nutrients when soaked in water or boiled and baked.
Yeah, and some foods you got to do that, right?
Some foods you do. Yeah. Potatoes, you do. And boiling, though, removes the most nutrients because vitamin C is the main nutrient in the potato. Mm. It is water soluble. So what's our solution to this, Ed?
Eat more potatoes, but not 7 or 8 at a meal. Is it better to fry a potato in oil or bake a potato?
Baking and frying lose fewer nutrients and vitamins than the boiling.
I guess when you don't have oil, when you have water, like in Ireland, and you know, this, when the Irish were living on potatoes, you boil it.
And that's the quickest and most efficient way to get a lot of potatoes to a lot of people. Tomatoes, however, boiling decreases the vitamin C, but it increases the availability of the antioxidant lipocine, and that helps protect our cells from damage and free radicals.
Oh,
and fun fact, there is a band, at least one band, by the name of Free Radicals. They're in Houston. They play music that combines elements of several genres, jazz, funk, ska.
And they eat tomatoes.
Reggae, hip-hop, African and Indian music. I want to listen to that band.
The Free Radicals. Yeah. All right. So anyway, eat your skins, folks. Except maybe like a banana peel.
Or just eat more fruits and vegetables.
Or more fruit and vegetables, yeah. Hey, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for joining us. Uh-huh. And thanks to our production team of Sherry Herdina, Forrest Detterman, Charles Goldman, Kathy Burns, and myself, Ed Fallon. Thanks also to our local small business partners, Gateway Marketing Cafe, Story County Veterinary Clinic, Western Optometry, David Drake Family Psychiatry, real estate agent Joe Henry, and Architecture by Synthesis. Thanks also to our nonprofit partners, Catholic Peace Ministry, Iowa Physicians for Social Responsibility, Bold Iowa, Birds and Bees Urban Farm, and Climate March. And finally, thanks to the Des Moines Irish Session for our bumper music. We'll be back next week with another hour of cutting-edge talk radio.